Hey, listeners, before we get to our regular show, I have an exciting announcement about our next live show, Together for the Rant, The Last Laugh. Now, this doesn't mean it's our last live show ever. It means that it is connected to the last Together for the Gospel conference ever. Thus, The Last Laugh. It will be Monday, April 18th at 7 p.m. at Sojourn New Albany, Sojourn Church, New Albany, Indiana. Now, you might be thinking, T4G is in Louisville. Indiana's a different state. Those don't sound very close together. In reality, New Albany is about a 10-minute drive from where T4G takes place, just across the river there, so very close by. Again, Monday, April 18th, 7 p.m., we will have two different ticket options. We have a standard $20 ticket option. That just means you get to attend and enjoy two live recordings and a Q&A and hanging out with us. Or we have a $45 premium ticket option, which there's a limited quantity of these, up to 50. That will include an exclusive Last Laugh t-shirt and some other goodies designed by our good friend Josh Byers, who does all of our swag and all of our merch for us. So again, $20 or $45, including a t-shirt, some stickers, other goodies. You can find all of this at thehappyrant.com. It's at thehappyrant.com. Look for the live show link. You can buy your tickets there. You can select premium or standard. We would love to see you Monday, April 18th, 7 p.m. for Together for the Rant, The Last Laugh. Now, enjoy the podcast. This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Kluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports, sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend and my partner in sports talk radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, it has been a hot minute since we have done a sports program, and we don't have scads of time this morning, but we have a lot to talk about, including the fact that baseball is coming back. We have some NBA stuff to get to, but that will be its own episode because there has been monumental quarterback market movement already in the NFL. And I'm sure by the time this publishes, other dominoes will have fallen. But we have a couple of big trades to talk about. Trades are fun. Player for player trades are fun. Player for pick trades are fun. And we got some big ones that are going to kind of inform what the rest of the landscape does. So let's get into these. I want to hear your opinion on the Russell Wilson trade. So Seattle ships out Russell Wilson. They let Bobby Wagner go. It looks like they're embracing a rebuild, despite the fact that Pete Carroll's like 72 years old. But he seems like the kind of 72-year-old that's hitting the anti-aging clinic. Probably his bloodstream is like two-thirds HGH at this point. And or they just plug him into a wall at night and he kind of like comes back to life the next morning. He doesn't seem normal.
I think that's true from an energy standpoint. I'm not sure that's true from a, like, keeping up with the NFL trends. Yeah. You know, he just seems like a crusty old man a little bit when it comes to like how we want to run offenses. Yeah. And like, he just has sort of this like, but we need to run the ball 70% of the time. And you're like, Pete, This isn't 1997 anymore. Yeah.
So let's talk about that a minute in light of Russell Wilson going to Denver. So I want to know how good you think Russell Wilson actually still is. Also, what kind of offense does he actually run? You know, because Seattle has been kind of this exercise in running the ball a lot with our running backs and then just sort of letting Russell Wilson do jailbreak, run around and make something happen stuff in the passing game, which, to be fair, worked really well for them up until a certain point. You know, you could make the argument that the goal line interception in the Super Bowl kind of broke that team and maybe broke Russell Wilson. But Denver has made this deal kind of from the perspective of he's still an elite quarterback. He puts us in the Super Bowl conversation. How good do you think he actually is?
I mean, I Those seem like questions that you can't answer apart from one another. How good is he actually, and what kind of offense does he run? I think from a physical talent and just sort of quarterback capacity game, he's probably still top 5 to 7 in the league.
Yeah.
I think their offense, what has Seattle's offense been? They've been through, he's probably played under what, 4 or 5 offensive coordinators, all under Pete Carroll. They've tried to go more West Coast, more whatever, all these different versions. It seems to me, so you remember before Matt LaFleur went to Green Bay, that Aaron Rodgers was becoming washed up.
Yeah.
It was just him trying to create plays in this stagnant offense. Yeah. A lot of what you hear about Russell Wilson, you know, they had an old crusty coach who didn't make any changes. So they got rid of him. And then they brought in LaFleur, and it looked a little iffy. He was, you know, he was inexperienced, whatever. Then over the course of about 1.5 to 2 years, by the end of his second season with Rodgers, you're like, oh, this really works. Rodgers can run this offense. You know, this is like professional race car driving, steering of this offense kind of thing. I could see, you know, that's best case scenario for Wilson is like he appears to be washed up because he's in a dumb system that's badly coached and executed.
Yeah.
Goes to a place where there's good offensive talent around him. They have a decent offensive line, solid skill position players, you know, depth at the wide receiver core, and a coach who has come from that Green Bay system.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's going to look exactly the same, but let's say it's built kind of the same. He can do what Aaron Rodgers does. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he can do it. You know, he can do 90% of what Aaron Rodgers can do. And 90% of what Aaron Rodgers can do is good enough to get that team, like, to compete in a really tough division. Potential Super Bowl if everything breaks right.
No, I think you're right. I think you're on there. And it kind of speaks to offensive coaching philosophy as much as anything. And I think working with Hackett will be good for him. You know, I grew up in an era where I was watching Joe Montana kind of get the ball out on rhythm. And that was sort of the greatest good. You know what I mean? That was viewed as like the best thing you could do as a quarterback is run the offense, get the ball out on rhythm. But then you have these guys like Kyler Murray who can't do anything on rhythm, and Russell Wilson who seems like he kind of can. But they do these really magical kind of wow things every once in a while too. So I think putting Wilson into an offense with a little more structure, to your point, like it actually allowed, you know, Aaron Rodgers to flourish the last couple of years. And I could see the same thing
happen. Especially as athletic ability starts to kind of, or mobility anyway, starts to diminish, but they still got a great arm and a great mind. Right. That kind of offense really works for him. And Russell Wilson has played in some straight up timing kinds of offenses.
He has.
Like he was at what? I think North Carolina State and then transferred to Wisconsin for his last year of football. And Wisconsin is the most like I formation under center passing game is about timing and play action. And he's the best quarterback Wisconsin has ever had. That 1 year, the only reason he didn't go in the first round is because he's 5'10".
Yeah.
And he can do anything skill wise. Yeah. I don't think Seattle used him. I think they gave him too much freedom and not enough
structure.
Let's channel what you're really good
at. Yeah. Do you think, I have two Russell Wilson questions. Do you think Denver overpaid for him?
Okay. So I'm going to make a comparison here that I've discovered in the last couple months. So I mentioned on our previous podcast, Lauren and I have been house hunting and we've come to realize that there's no such thing as a price for a house. There is what you are willing to pay for a house. How much is it worth you? And so there's asking price, which is sort of the baseline off of which things go, but some people are going to pay $100,000 over asking in a market like Nashville or whatever. Quarterbacks are like that. There isn't a price for quarterbacks. So, cause I think that the flip side is, okay, did they overpay? They paid a lot. But if they didn't have Russell Wilson, they would have Drew Lock, which means they're absolutely last place in that.
Yeah, you're punting on the season at that point.
And And okay, and if they don't get Russell Wilson, who do they get? They go out and trade for Kirk Cousins. Okay, you're still last place in that division. You go out and trade for Carson Wentz. You're still last place in that division. You draft
Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis.
Say they luck into Malik Willis, still last place in that division. Like, it was one of those situations where without Wilson, they have a pretty well structured team that's going nowhere. Yeah. So how do you overpay for that?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think it, especially in that division, which is so quarterback saturated, I mean, you have arguably, you know, three of the best quarterbacks in the league in that division in Justin Herbert and Mahomes and Derek Carr. I mean, Russell Wilson still might be the fourth best quarterback in that division, but at least he gets them closer. You know, he's not Drew Locke. And
he's in a tier with those guys. Like on any given day, he's better than the other guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they might have if they have a slightly less game and he has a great game, he's better than Justin Herbert on his best day in that situation. That doesn't mean he's better over the course of a season, but now they can go toe to toe with those teams and they just couldn't under any other quarterback circumstance available.
No, you're right. And it's a good time to do it because we don't exactly know what the Raiders are going to be under McDaniels. I'm still not completely sold on the Brandon Staley experience with the Chargers. Like I know that Herbert is uber talented and super fun to watch, but you know, he might get held back there in certain ways. And I think it was a good time to do it. And it's fun to see trades like this. It will make the draft experience a lot more interesting for Seattle people and Seattle fans. And it'll be interesting to see what they do in the immediate term in Seattle. Like if they draft one of these quarterbacks or they just kick the can down the road with Drew Locke for a year or two and see what next year looks like.
Man, I feel like they have to draft a quarterback because otherwise they're just the Broncos. They're just the Texans. Yeah. They're just one of these. I mean, the Texans are a total dumpster fire.
Yeah.
But like a team with some decent talent around, you know, there and no chance at being good. Now, maybe they're fine with that in the short run because they have some salary issues. They're in a division with the defending Super Bowl champions and the almost Super Bowl contending Niners and so forth. So maybe they're just like, yeah, being bad is fine for now. But it's hard to stomach.
No, it is. It really is. Especially in today's NFL. You know, I think there was a time where, you know, probably our childhoods where you would talk about a rebuild in terms of a 3 or 4 year process, but people have, you know, they don't have that kind of attention span anymore. And you have to be appearing to turn your team around immediately in order to like appease the fan bases in different places. So I want to,
and Pete Carroll is old as
Dirt. That's right. His window is short just by nature of how old he is. So I want to kind of talk about the Washington thing in light of that. So Washington perceives themselves as having this elite defense, although it didn't play that great last year. I think they perceive themselves as having this like elite skill group on offense, although they didn't play that great last year. So they go out and get Carson Wentz, and they didn't give up a ton for him. And in fact, the Colts were so disillusioned with Carson Wentz that they sent a 2 of their own in the deal just to have Washington take his terrible contract away. So the Colts now need a quarterback. So there's the what do they do question. And then there's the like, why did Washington do this question? I mean, is Ron Rivera just viewing Carson Wentz through like 2017 glasses and kind of hoping for that experience? Because from where I sit, he hasn't played good in a long time. He doesn't really move the needle for Washington. The only argument you could make for it is that the quarterback situation, the quarterback landscape in that division is so bleak. Maybe they feel like he gives them something, and he gives them the potential to be the second best quarterback in the division after Dak Prescott, given that you've got Daniel Jones, who's bad, Jalen Hurts, who I think is bad. I don't know. How are you viewing this if you're a Washington fan?
So I was having this conversation with a guy yesterday, and we were talking about there's a group of quarterbacks who every team that has them wants someone else. And then they're excited to get the someone else. And then after a year, they want somebody else. And yeah. So it's like, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. It's Kirk Cousins. It's Carson yeah. Wentz. It's there's probably two or three other guys kind of in that tier. Yeah. And it's like, so you have them and you're like, from the outside, they are perceived as pretty solid. Yeah. I mean, look at their numbers. Carson Wentz, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, yeah. like good numbers. Yeah. And if you have them, you're like, gross. Yeah. Give me a real quarterback. This guy's frustrating. Yeah. You know,
well, because
Cousins has even better numbers. I mean, I think Cousins has played better than Wentz, but even so, like, there's just sort of a tier of these quarterbacks.
Because
so
if you have
I think
them,
Washington,
you're actually watching the games every week and you're seeing what it actually is, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And you're, in, what you're doing is talking yourself into the Jimmy G situation is if everything around this goes really well, we can make a run in the playoffs. Yeah. That's the Jimmy G reality under, you know, as you know, two or three times with the 49ers, like NFC championship game because of good defense, good skill position players, yep. you know, well-called offense all the way up until the fourth quarter of most yep. games. You know, as a Vikings fan, I can tell you that's exactly what you hope for with Cousins. You need everything else to break right and him to not screw
yeah.
it up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then when they keep screwing it up, you're like, give me a different guy. I don't like this guy. So I think Washington just, you know, they had whatever, one game of Fitzpatrick and then, or a couple games of Fitzpatrick and then he got injured. And then they realized Taylor Heineke's at best a decent backup. Yeah. We've got to get a starter. Yeah. So they go out and get him. I don't think they overpaid for him because an NFL quality starter who can put up decent numbers yeah. has value. Yeah. Like we were talking about with Wilson, like what is overpaying for a quarterback? I don't know. I promise you they're going to be disappointed in him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now granted this year, that division might be mediocre enough that they might come out at the top of the division with like 10 wins. Yeah. They might be 10-7 and win the division, yeah. you know? And if that's the case, I mean, I think the Cowboys should be favored in that division. Yeah. I think the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is a wild card. I don't think he's very good, but he's unique.
Yeah, he's unique.
So that's fun, yeah. I guess. And so, yeah, I think it's one of those moves that's like, okay, I get why they did it.
Yeah.
But it's really a save your job for one more year move by Rivera. Because if they go 10-7, he probably keeps his job. Totally. If they go 7-10, he's probably yeah. out. And they have a better chance at 10 wins with Wentz and no chance at a Super Bowl ever.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're one of those teams that is very much stuck in purgatory. You know, they're either going to be 10-7 or 7-10. And yeah, like a guy like Carson Wentz keeps you kind of, you know, capped in that sort of yeah. a ceiling. But dude, I would.
Oh, a couple other quarterbacks in that tier. I was trying to remember who it was. Baker Mayfield's sure. in that tier of like, if you have him, you want someone yeah. else. If you look him from the outside, you're like, he might be fun. Yeah. I think Tua's probably going to end up in that
yeah.
tier.
Yeah.
You know, decent NFL quarterback, really frustrating if you have to watch him 17 games every.
See, I thought Cleveland was going to be the team that was going to make a big run at Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. You know, because I think those two guys would really have moved the needle for a Cleveland roster that kind of feels on the cusp, you know. And I think you could have you could have kind of paid a little bit less in pick capital throwing Baker Mayfield into the deal because I think he's still perceived as a better, you know, prospect than Drew Lock, obviously. But Cleveland kind of holds pat. So ostensibly, they're not going to do anything. What do the Colts do? So the Colts, to me, actually do have a really compelling roster. You know, you've got an ascendant Jonathan Taylor. You've got a youngish wide receiver room with some upside. A pretty good offensive line and a pretty good defense.
And a ton of
cap. And a ton of cap room. Like,
that was before getting rid of Wentz. They had a ton of cap room. Now they have, I mean, they have like that his salary spot is where they would put a quarterback in. Yeah. It sounds like all the rumors are they're gonna be the ones who try to trade for Garoppolo.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, I think Garoppolo is probably better than Wentz. Yeah. In kind of the grand results, yeah. like I think Wentz is more talented probably, but Garoppolo does better for that team. Yeah. they get paid, they both get paid about the same amount of money. So it's basically a quarterback swap. Yeah. The, you know, they gave up some picks to move from one guy to the other. And San Fran pretty clearly wants to move off Garoppolo because they got Trey Lance waiting in the wings, who they paid a lot for. Yeah. So, I mean, and I think Garoppolo and Indy, like if they, you know, if he's their guy for a few years, that might extend Frank Reich's opportunity there because he's the one who went to bat for Wentz. It didn't go very well. Yeah. So he's kind of in a tenuous spot, but say they get him and they move to 11 wins, which I think is perfectly feasible with that team. That's pretty solid.
Definitely. What does Carolina do?
But not excited. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how anybody gets excited about Garoppolo at this point, other than like the local businesses who will use him for sponsorships because he's got a nice face and great eyebrows. Dude,
totally. They're going to love him in Indianapolis. I mean, super handsome guy. But yeah, so to that point, I mean, it's hard to get excited about a guy like that who just feels like a rental, you know, rather than like a franchise guy that you're building around. But there's no franchise guy in this year's draft. And there are a lot of quarterback.
I could see Malik Willis being a franchise guy. That's we'll get into a draft conversation probably closer to, but like he, man, talk about a boomer bust prospect, but I could see him being Lamar Jackson.
Okay. So let's do like a minute on that. Compare him to Jalen Hurts, because I think he actually has more upside as a passer than Jalen Hurts. He's maybe a little bit less dynamic as a runner, but I think I'd rather have him. You know, I'd rather have Malik Willis.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think Jalen Hurts is a good runner who's more of a tough runner than he is an explosive runner. Like, you don't see Jalen Hurts breaking away from guys for 40 and 50 yard runs, but if you need seven, he'll get you
absolutely
eight kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is a really valuable, that's a valuable skill set to have. I think Willis runs more like Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Like he's super fast. Mm-hmm. He's bigger than Murray, but like he's going to be more on the shifty side. Yeah. And that's, I think in today's NFL, that's more valuable because you don't want a quarterback who's taking a bunch of hits. You want the guy who's going to pick up the yards, break some plays, but not be lowering his shoulder and smashing into people.
Yeah.
That's a career shortener. He's a way better thrower.
Yeah.
Just physical talent than Hurts. He's a way better thrower, physical talent than half the guys in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I agree.
That doesn't mean he knows how to read a defense or run an offense, but just from the ability to chuck it, and he doesn't have bad accuracy.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks of his physical talent playing at that level are so hard to grade.
Yeah.
Because the teams around him are so bad and there's no guarantee that their coaching is good. And it's basically like a high school offense where it's like, I don't know, dude, go make some plays.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. It's interesting. So like you look at a team like Philadelphia who perceives itself as set at quarterback, right? But I actually think Philly should be in the kind of creative acquiring a quarterback mindset this offseason, you know? And the fact that they aren't probably keeps them kind of ceilinged at 10-7.
See, now if Philly had said Jalen Hurts a first and a second for Russell Wilson, their team is top of that division in a second.
Absolutely. So my question to you is, why don't you do that if you're Philly? And maybe they tried. I mean, they've got three first round picks. They have Jalen Hurts who...
Yeah, shoot. I would have traded Hurts in two of their
picks. Absolutely. You know?
Russell Wilson puts them in a position to compete for a Super Bowl immediately.
Yeah, so it's astonishing to me that they didn't do this or that they didn't try to do it. And yeah, like throwing Jalen Hurts into that package feels like, you know, it feels like Seattle's still getting somebody with some meat left on the bone in terms of their career. You know, and that would have put Philly right at the top of that division.
It seems to me that a guy like Jalen Hurts or any quarterback on a rookie contract who's shown some promise to Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts has been better than Tua, but like when Tua's been healthy, you're like, that's an NFL quarterback. That'll yeah. work. You get guys like that. They are valuable trade chips.
Absolutely.
Because it's, if you're, so say a team is giving up a star quarterback, Seattle, mm-hmm. they need to fill that position or they're a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
And bringing in one of those guys is like, okay, it doesn't hurt our salary cap.
Yeah.
We can run an offense with this guy for the next year or two, kind of evaluate him. Mm-hmm. If they're the guy, we run with him. If they're not, we draft or we find another option. Yeah, I don't, it's strange to me. I mean, maybe those offers were on the table and Seattle just liked Denver's offer better. Yeah, maybe they wanted to get Russell out of the NFC. I don't know. But yeah, I don't understand why Philly didn't more aggressively go after somebody like Wilson.
Dude, maybe they go after Kyler Murray. You know, I don't personally like Kyler Murray, but the perception of him is that he is an ascendant player, a superstar, a franchise quarterback, what have you. And maybe
he strikes me a little bit as, I mean, I could see him following the Cam Newton career yeah. arc where mm-hmm. he is one or two years, he takes them very nearly to the brink of a title. Yeah. Then he just does a lot of stuff that statistically is anomalous and impressive. Yeah. You know, it's like a great fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
But overall, he's like a 500 quarterback for his career in the end because the NFL requires playing in a certain kind of structure and he seems
incapable of doing
that. Pretty opposed to it.
yeah. Incapable, opposed, not willing to put the time in, whatever the case may be. Yeah, like he's a freelancer, you know, and it's almost like these unbelievably athletic guys have lived their lives being so athletically superior to their opposition that they almost can't play in structure. And the idea of doing that seems antithetical to who they are, but it's the thing that you have to do to survive in the NFL, regardless of who you are. You know, like Baltimore is going to have to figure this out. Because I think we're seeing the closing of a certain window where Lamar Jackson just does jaw-dropping things and, like, you know, beats teams on the ground. Like, teams have figured out, okay, don't let your ends fly upfield. You know, make him throw outside the hash marks, and that's how you beat Lamar Jackson. And until he evolves, that's kind of going to be the narrative with him. So that'll be interesting.
Well, and the thing is, there are models of how this works yeah. because, I mean, think back to Randall Cunningham. It's been a long yeah. time, but like Cunningham was a jaw-dropping player who didn't have a ton of success.
Yeah.
And then later in his career, as his athleticism diminished a little bit,
yeah.
he was really washed yeah. up, went to Minnesota and was still very mobile, yeah. but was a thrower.
Yeah. Totally.
And became a really successful quarterback for a couple of years. Russell Wilson's the best current example. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Wilson could have been Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
But he was in an offense that pretty well restrained him for a while, which frustrated
yeah.
him. But it also put him in a position where now he's a real NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Like I think he's really smart. I think he knows how to run a team. Yeah. I think he's, you know, all of that stuff. But athleticism channeled rather than just sort of like go make plays.
Yeah.
And then because the NFL defensive coordinators and teams are good enough that go make plays just doesn't work
yeah.
for very long.
No, you're right, man. You're absolutely right. So real quick here, and I got to jump off the show. Stuck with Kirk Cousins for another year. We're making our peace with that as a Vikings fan, or are you still holding out hope that something different could happen?
Holding out hope is too strong. I think there's an off chance. I mean, NFL teams have proven that they're not rational when it comes to quarterbacks. Carolina
yeah.
could do all sorts of dumb things
yeah.
between now and whenever.
Yeah.
How the draft breaks, you know, maybe Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Maybe Pittsburgh decides. And here's the thing. If Minnesota trades Cousins and they don't get a starting quality quarterback in return, mm-hmm. they're just last year's Denver Broncos.
Yeah, you're in purgatory at that point.
You know, and so it almost would require something that happens before the draft and then a draft pick is used on a guy
yeah.
or it brings back somebody a la Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. who is like, okay, we can run with this.
We can run the single wing with Jalen Hurts and Dalvin Cook and have him throw it yeah. 9 times a game. That would actually be really interesting.
It would suck for Justin Jefferson so
bad. It would,
bad.
Dude, like, yeah.
He should have been drafted by the Eagles in the first yeah. place, and then he still would have had Jalen Hurts throwing right, to him. But, I have not made peace with Kirk Cousins yeah. as my quarterback, nor am I hanging my hopes on anything. I'm just sort of mad.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of mad about it.
I get it. I mean, I think drafting Malik Willis should still be on the table for you guys. I don't know if he survives
there, yeah. he absolutely should yeah. be.
But, you know, that would be really interesting, even if you are stuck with another year of Cousins, and then maybe you can start Malik Willis for the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season after you're out of the playoffs. But, you know, it would be interesting. But, Pipe, I have to go. And we have done what we always do on this program, in that we have wandered to and fro throughout some quarterback moves, and we have some baseball to talk soon, and there's light at the end of the labor strife tunnel. These are all good things. Thoroughly enjoyed it, Pipe, and until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.